Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 354 of the podcast. Today is Sunday, March 24th. We are fresh off of UFC Vegas 89, Amanda Ribas versus Rose Namajunas. Before we get into any of that, let me introduce my guest for today. One of my favorite people in this MMA space, longtime friend of the show. I think maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
The Southpaw Outlaw, Serena De Jesus, fresh off of a knockout victory at CFFC 130 in Tampa, Florida. Serena, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Just chilling, getting everything together before I go to work and all that. And I just can't, I'm just excited to be here and chatting with you and everything. But man, there's been a lot of that fight was something. The whole, I finally have a good memory in Florida. I mean, what else could I ask for? I just wish I could see the fight, but the problem was I didn't expect me to be on OnlyFans. So
wait,
yeah, the prelims are on OnlyFans and I didn't know. And it's like, oh shit, how do I tell everybody? I mean, this is not exactly how I envisioned my OnlyFans debut, but like, as one person properly put it, these are the face shots and pounding that he likes to see was me fighting. So
who put it that way?
When you put it that way, yeah. But I was very blessed in that fight because I had on International Women's Day, which is when I fought, I had an all-female corner. I had my homegirl Alexa Connors, who really, really helped me out a lot. She came flying out to Vegas to train with me. She kept me calm during everything. She fights next month and she's jumping in the sauna with me, cutting weight and all that. She gave really good advice, kept me calm in between rounds and stuff, and made sure I could understand. So shout. And then her friend Shannon Lovelace also came. Great support. She even braided my hair for that fight because, well, now I'm getting my long hair back slowly but surely.
I see that.
And fucking shout out to the GOAT as well, Roxy, for showing up, even though she's like 4 months pregnant. Like,
oh, is she really?
Yeah. I didn't know.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. It was all over the news. Like, yeah, she's pregnant. So I'm going to be the best aunt ever. I can't wait.
Congratulations to her.
Man, between me and her and like her husband's influences, that kid's going to cause some trouble. I can't wait. Roxy can yell at us both.
Neither can I. That's going to be it. You guys need to film a lot of this, turn it into a reality show.
How about that? But the fight was good. I wish I could see it. I knew, but Elizabeth was really good. She had arguably the smartest game plan of all of my opponents so far. She was very grappling heavy. Like, her strikes were good, but she was doing that to just get my attention. She tried multiple takedowns. She tried to leg lace me in the first round. And I guess off of instinct, I was able, and you know, because every single day for 8 years, Roxy was making my life a living hell on the ground. Just, I whipped around real hard to get her on the bottom, and I started doing some ground and pound. And the second round she got me down was something, but I was able to hook sweep her to the cage and then got and straddled her essentially and started hitting her. But then she scrambled really well and I had to get my hooks in and flatten her out for a little bit. And then there was another point, I think it was either in the second or the third round, that she attempted a triangle on me when she escaped. And all I could do was just put my knee up and just start trying to hit her until she started moving. And well, speaking of Alexa in the fight, while she was sparring me and everything, helped me get ready. I hit her with a kick that got her in the liver accidentally. Cause like, it always happens on accident, like in sparring. Like when I want to do it in a fight, it never fucking happens. But when I'm sparring, it happens almost every fucking time, you know? Mm-hmm. So Alexa, and before I walked down, I was like, hey, Serena, you remember that kick that you hit me with? Hit her with that shit. I'm like, okay. And then lo and behold, round three, I do it. And then she went down faster than I anticipated because I hit Brittany Cloudy with that, but she hit that shit like a fucking sandwich. I mean, and I guess I really got Liz with it too, because she just immediately crumpled. Like I thought it was because I threw my kick and I threw my cross right afterwards. I honestly thought it was my cross, but it wasn't. And all I knew is just, I had to get down and just finish the job because, I didn't want to leave this to chance because there was times I've hesitated on going to straight to ground and pound because we've all seen the Nico Price up kicks and shit that changes the fight and all that. But all I could think of is how Laura Mueller, how I didn't finish her. I just dove, but I didn't put punches in it. And I made a little adjustment. Instead of going straight forward, when I came down, I cut the angle to come on in. And then, you know, the ref yanked me off. And then it was what it was. Like, I only had a little teeny tiny red mark on my face. And literally, as soon as I landed back in Vegas, the next day I went to work. And I worked every fucking day after that fight, too. So
nice.
This week was my kind of back to normal week for work. But, you know, I'm still, so next week I'm going to go back to the gym. I had to deal with my car being, you know, having to get repairs all last week. So it kind of stifled me going, getting to practice, but that was that. But, you know, there was some good with, you know, winning the fight and everything, but I can't fully accept, I can't fully enjoy the win because, well, I'm a hoe who missed weight. See, I'm a hoe and I'm on OnlyFans. Shit's not going, shit's devolved a little bit, Bill. You know, and there were some problems within camp, you know, but these aren't excuses. These are things I just have to adjust. I had my strength conditioning team mid-camp just fucking ghost me. Just drop off the face of the fucking planet, block my number, and I'm like, what the fuck happened here? You know, I still don't know what happened, but in the midst of camp, shout out to the goat, Maki Patoli. Like, Maki Patoli, Coconut Bombs, has been my striking coach for this camp. He's really guided me. He's broke down an appropriate game plan and everything in the fight. But he also runs something called Deep End Fitness. Like, they're a thing that's all over the country. So it's strength conditioning, but it's underwater. So I'm doing weight. I'm doing, like, squat jumps underneath the water and stuff. I'm doing, like, all sorts of wild shit with weights under the water and things like that. And it's done great for me, learning how to relax, because it's always been my thing. I've always been like antsy and tense. And then breath work's been great. I went from holding my breath for 45 seconds. Now I'm damn near 2 minutes. So,
wow.
But the goals for me now is to find, I love Deep End Fitness. I want to keep staying at Deep End Fitness with Maki, but I also need some more solid fight specific strength conditioning because that's where I think that's, well, fucked with my weight and everything else. Like, it wasn't like I was eating like a fat piece of shit because, you know, I hadn't had a beer for 3 months until after that fight. I hadn't had any of that. And, you know, after Christmas, it was just like, that's it. I didn't even get to enjoy birthday cake, but my body's changed obviously. And so I now need to figure out these changes and work with it because I ain't going up the fucking 45. I'm short. And these broads at 45 are like walking around goddamn near 180.
Yeah,
fuck there's that noise. Angst.
All right, I need to back you up a little bit here because
please do.
You threw a lot at me, but I want to go back to, we'll talk about the weight stuff and the strength and conditioning, all that. I want to go back to the finish because the liver kick was beautiful. It was set up perfectly, and that southpaw orthodox matchup just makes that kick so available. I was showing. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I was showing the video I have of it to my students to show them, you know, how effective that liver kick can be when you're in that southpaw orthodox matchup. Now, for those who didn't see the fight and don't know what we're talking about, is it still available only on OnlyFans?
I have no idea. I have no idea how to see it. I've asked the questions, a little inquiry to CFFC, and they're doing what they can, but they're also busy. They got some shows running up soon, so I don't want to bug them too much. You know, I'm already feeling a certain way about, you know, my miss and everything, but, you know, I actually really enjoyed fighting for CFFC. They're a top tier organization as far as I'm concerned. They took care of me very well. They, you know, they're receptive to everything. They even helped me handle the Florida State Athletic Commission, which I absolutely thought, you know, I couldn't hate any athletic commission worse than the Pennsylvania Athletic Commission when I fought for them. But no, I hate Florida Athletic Commission way worse, bro. Fucking hell. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of annoyances that come along with this commission. And I'm in the process this month. I'm going to be doing my referee certification.
So hey.
So I'm going to have to be dealing with them. But Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to do a little reconnaissance and get on OnlyFans so I can track down this fight.
Even if you were on OnlyFans, the stream is not available anymore. So.
Oh, so it's not even on there?
No, that's why I'm trying to figure out where the fuck I can find it, you know?
And it's not on Fight Pass.
It'll be one of those lost in time fights. Who knows?
Oh, man. So all we have is this clip that somebody screen grabbed, huh?
Yeah, God bless Twitter. I don't care if everyone calls it X. I'm going to be that old cranky person still calling it Twitter.
Yeah, in my day, we called it Twitter, and we only had 120 characters.
No, it's funny, as my dad, you're going to laugh at this, he still calls Home Depot Heckingers. Now, that's a blast from the past that no one knows about, especially Gen Z. The fuck they know about a Heckingers?
I don't think I've ever heard of Heckingers.
Probably an East Coast thing. It was a hardware store, but then, yeah, Home Depot bought it out. Just like Whole Foods used to be called Fresh Fields.
Yeah, that one I know. I mean, I'm an East Coast guy, too. I'm from New York.
Yeah.
I never had a Heckingers.
Excuse me, picking up puppers. Yeah, see, I'm like fucking Dr. Doolittle here today.
I think I'm still going to have to do some research on OnlyFans. And I guess I'll just explain it to my wife. Like, listen, research. I need to see my friend Serena pop a broad in the mouth.
There you go.
It's not what you think. It's not what you think.
I can't help but wonder how many people, you know, how many guys have had to say that, you know, just to watch the CFFC prelims on OnlyFans. Be like, it's not what you think. I'm watching fights. It's not that kind of these shots.
Yeah. My wife wouldn't care anyway. But just the thought of having to explain that is funny to me. Okay, so the weight stuff. I mean, I know you've been very critical in the past. One of my favorite clips.
Yeah.
It will always be my favorite clip from the podcast is you talking about women missing weight and no respect for any of these hoes.
Guys, yeah.
Check it out on the highlights on the YouTube channel. But
but yeah, now I'm the hoe who missed weight. My body stopped sweating. It wasn't even that, like, you know, I went in there, we did everything. The sauna, I went into the hot tub, I went into the Epsom salt bath. But the more, you know, my body, after a certain amount of time, like, it just started sweating less and less and less, and then it had nothing left to give. And I'm like, oh, fuck me. I've never had that happen before. I never even knew that was, scientifically, I knew that was a thing, but I didn't anticipate that happened to me. So, well, it happened. So I was upset. Like the last fight, like fighting Olga, I shouldn't have been there. I had one working leg and then my health was shit. I shouldn't have taken that fight, but I didn't have an appropriate team that said, hey, you're fucking injured and can't even move right. Sit the fuck down. So hence I'm full-time at Extreme Couture now. But yeah, this fight was weird. Like this weight cut thing was weird. Like I had a nutritionist. I was doing well. I was eating pretty well, you know, nutritionally based foods, like a lot of rice and veggies and bison and chicken and stuff like that. And just, it was what it was. So now I got to take another look at it. And I think having a proper strength conditioning team will work. I actually have a good source going on. I might be working a little bit more with all my homies at the PI, fingers crossed. So we'll get some more fight specific training and some science behind it so we can figure out, you know, what's going on. So, cause I feel I owe Elizabeth a proper rematch because of my weight miss, you know?
And like, how much did you miss by?
I missed by 3 pounds. So I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy at all. Like 3 pounds, yeah, some people think is not significant, but for me, it's the principle. It's the principle of it. I fucked up. You know, regardless of all the shit that happened, I fucked up at the end of the day. There's no excuse. So, I mean, if Liz wants the rematch, which, you know, I'm not trying to challenge her. I'm just leaving this option out there for her. Like, I will give her a proper rematch. If and make weight. She deserves this much.
All right, Elizabeth Schroeder, if you're listening, you heard it here. You can get a rematch with the Outlaw at the proper weight. But I think it's important that you're open and honest about talking about this stuff, because it goes to show even someone with as much experience as you have, things can still go wrong. You know, we're still really in like an infancy toddler stage of this sport. Like, people mm-hmm. are still just figuring this shit out as they go. There's no, like, everybody sees the final product on TV. They don't know that there's still high level UFC fighters that are training in a fucking garage with like 8 people, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, nobody has this stuff all figured out. We're nowhere near like, you know, professional football or baseball or any mm-hmm. of these other things that have been established for 100 years. Like, people are just learning as they go. Everybody's just like walking along, picking up all the shit that they're dropping as they go with an arm full of stuff. And it's like, all right, let's all fucking piece this shit together somehow.
Essentially. I mean, we're getting there. We're making small little bits of progress, but there's still a lot to go for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, body shutting down and not cutting any more water weight, like, there wasn't really anything I could do, because like Alexa Connors and the rest of the crew were like, we don't want to drag your lifeless body out of the sauna, mm-hmm. which is fair, because I had to deal with an incident where I had to drag out a woman way bigger than me on the across the pond in London mm-hmm. out of the sauna, because their bodies stopped sweating. But not only that, they were starting to dry heave. So that's where we start getting into the lines of kidney failure. And
yeah.
That's the shit we don't want, you know?
No.
So I respected the decision of my team to say, hey, stop cutting, you're not sweating. Because I was going to try and do it, get as much as I could out of me. But this is why we have people to keep me from doing dumb shit. You know, I need people to keep me from doing dumb shit, because I will fucking carry on. Like,
mm-hmm.
I will fight a fight, even if I'm like absolutely just fucked up. I will go in there and fight till I am literally unconscious.
Yeah.
I will do things because I want the outcome I want until I'm unconscious. So I'm grateful to have a team that's like, yoink, no, you're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah. Now we fix things. That's all we can do, is just fix things.
That's super important. You have to have those people that you trust around you to make those tough decisions that you're not necessarily going to be happy with.
I agree. I wish I had that for, you know, when the whole Olga situation, like, I wish I was like, hey, we can postpone this fight. Let's get your ankle healed. Let's see how damaged you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they did that, we would have found out all the fucking adhesions in my leg from that ATV accident way earlier and got the proper care.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda, right?
Right. So let's backtrack a little bit too, because you mentioned, you know, you're all female corner on International Women's Day. I know the last time we spoke, you found yourself at a new team. Do you feel like everything is just starting to click together now? Like you said, also, I know Muay Thai has been your bread and butter since the beginning. But you always landed the liver kick in sparring, and now you finally hit it in a fight. Do you feel like you're finally reaching the point where everything's meshing just right?
Starting to, yes, because there's something that people don't understand. So there's your small, there's your medium, and your large size gyms, and the ecosystem within them are pretty different.
Mm-hmm.
And from someone who's only been in small to medium sized gyms for a majority of my career, it was a bit overwhelming to find proper coaching, proper, you know, guidance in Couture's. Now, don't get me wrong. Couture's a great gym. There's great coaches everywhere. But as a fighter, you need a dedicated, one dedicated coach, one dedicated leader who will help you. And mm-hmm. I found that through Maki. So, and it took me a while. I was trying to go with another coach, but the thing is this, you know, if you're not making the money, you know, there are coaches who will take priority to the people who are bringing in bigger purses and stuff. And I get it, you know, even sure. if I don't like it, it's just how the game operates, which mm-hmm. is why I'm grateful to Maki and everything for taking me under his wing. and started work with him and the other Hawaiians. So like, it's like day three, the Hawaiians have taken me in as one of their own. So, and it's been great. So, but that's, you know, so that's finally getting together. The strength and conditioning thing obviously needs a little work, but we're going to get back to that. So, and then Mike Pyle's now at Extreme Couture, which is great. So
great.
I get my dude back. So I'm hoping to get a little bit of work in with him as well. So I feel things are definitely starting to click. Mm-hmm. You know, I now, you know, I'm with this company, Fit Meals for You LV, to help me kind of trim my weight back down and everything. Great food mm-hmm. and all that. Look, I got a protein powdered cheesecake and that shit was bomb. It tastes like a real fucking cheesecake. It was awesome. So we got that going on. I just got to get the strength condition here. Like I said, my grappling's still pretty good because Extreme Couture is a very grappling heavy gym. Sure. And I got a lot of good girls to pick from. Jocelyn Edwards, you know, me and Taylor Gordado, you know, when I work with her, like we have Jessica Andrade runs through here and again. Got Jessica Delbloni, even though she's like a 105 or 115er, that girl has thick old legs and she kicks like a fucking mule. And as a result, she also does, she has great blast doubles that even my ass has to be aware for. So I got, no matter where I go, I have a really good women's team. Mm-hmm. I'm really grateful for. And I even get to train with Misha here and again too, when she's in classes. So it's nice, but we're slowly starting to see things come together. Not all the pieces have come in yet, but right. We're a lot further than when we last spoke. Trust me.
Awesome. Well, I did hear that there was a female cast of The Ultimate Fighter coming up, but I'm not sure of the weight classes. Do you have any intel on that?
Well, if it's the Shevchenko versus Grasso thing, it's not women at all. It's all dudes, big dudes.
Now, really?
Yeah. So here's my thing. And this is probably going to get me crucified by all the feminists. Like, I don't know or have much belief that smaller female coaches can truly help bigger men because of the body type. It's like, yes, they can give great advice and run great practices. Yes, for sure. But like, when you need to be hands-on, like how the fuck are you going to do it with, like, if memory serves me right there, it's a 185 cast, 185 division cast. Mm. What are these flyweight women going to be able to, you know, work with these dudes who fight at 185, or they're probably in like 205 or 210 or something like that. It's just, I want to be wrong. I want to be proven wrong. But for me, I just don't see how that works. And yeah, I'm a little mad. It's, you have female coaches and there's not female fighters on there, but like, fuck, I don't care.
Well, I'm not going to give an opinion on this one.
Okay, see? But you let me do this. Because what are they going to fucking do? Fight me?
Yeah. It doesn't really make sense.
Jesus.
You know, even for anything you're training, like I always tell people, like just a jiu-jitsu gym or whatever, you need to cross train a little bit because you need to find, you know, you need to find different coaches that work for your style. Like the way I'm going to teach you, you know, how to set up a guillotine is going to be different than somebody who's, you know, 6'5" and lanky.
Yeah. Right?
So I'll leave it at that without getting into the male female. It's more of a body type thing. Just different body mm-hmm. types work differently. You know, even if it was a flyweight male, there's not much. I mean,
exactly.
They could share experience but as far as technique and things like that go and being hands-on, they're not going to be much help. But maybe it's going to be, you know, the two female leaders, and then they're going to bring in a team of experts, and that will be the experience.
Probably, but most likely. But like, still, it just makes, I'm not trying to like diss anybody, but it just makes me scratch my head like, how the fuck is this going to work?
Well, I was hoping that it would be a female cast and there was potential to get the number 30th ranked bantamweight in the United States, according to Tapology.
Number 30th. All right. Everything's looking up, Milhouse.
Yeah. And
30th in the United States.
You're ranked higher than that regionally, of course. number 13 in the West.
Hey.
So this is all according to Tapology. I have no idea how accurate this is, but we're going to go with it.
Hey, look, I trust Tapology.
Let's see. Matt the Mechanic, who joins the Thursday show, says, congrats on the win, Serena. And he's down $1.49 on his picks this week.
Well, thank you, Matt, for the congrats. Sorry about being down about that much, but hey, it could be worse. You could be fucking around on the slots in Vegas and lose way more.
Yeah. So what we do, Serena, is on Thursdays, I don't like doing picks. So I have Matt come on and do picks, and I criticize him. Last week, he hit a full reverse parlay. Every single pick he got wrong.
Ah, fuck. My condolences.
And I think last night he only got one right. But this is why I don't do picks, because as experienced as I am with MMA and as much as I think I know what's going to happen, I never do.
Yeah, I get it. Like, see, this is like me with, say, any form of gambling. Like, I just take a little bit if I even engage at all. Like, I once put a quarter in, like, the video blackjack. I made a dollar profit. I walked away so fast.
Yeah.
See, I can't spend it all in one place. I know. But I used to be good with picks, but, like, the sport has evolved so much that it's harder.
Yeah.
It's harder to do picks, in my opinion. Like, we went, because everyone's more athletic. Because back in the day, we had more specialists. Types.
Yeah.
I mean, we still do, but now the athleticism is almost kind of closed the gap a little bit more. So now it's a little harder to have picks. Like, it used to be easy. Like, okay, this guy's a submission artist. This guy's a striker. Here's his holes. Here's her holes. I know. No ditty. But but now it's different.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it used to be like, oh, this guy's a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And then now everybody's like, that's cute. We're all fucking black belts.
Meanwhile, I'm the 10-year blue belt who fucking like fought off multiple submission attempts and shit.
Look, that 10-year blue belt, it holds its weight.
Yes, it does. I haven't been in a gi in so long. I miss it a lot, but
yeah,
just it doesn't work with matter. The rest of my training schedule.
Even Islam was recently talking about this. He's like, how's this guy black belt? I submit him. I have no black belt. It's like, happens. But you've been wrestling bears in Dagestan for 20 years.
Wrestling bears in Dagestan, probably having that vitamin cocktail since a child.
Oh, yeah.
Meanwhile, I just have the tism strength, okay? It's the cousin of the other type of strength I won't say out loud.
Did you say the tism strength?
Yes, I did.
is that a thing?
No, that's actually a thing for real. Like, the biggest concern for autistic parents is how strong their children are, and you know that as they get older, they can't really contain them. So,
all right, well,
got a rhythm with the tism.
You learn something new every day, I guess. So the other thing we do on Thursdays is Matt will present me with a hot take. And if I can't change his mind, then I need to take a shot of something disgusting. Last week, I had to take a shot of this nasty banana howler head whiskey.
How does that fucking work? Banana whiskey.
It doesn't. It doesn't. It's gross.
It can't be worse than Thai whiskey. Trust me.
Well, I hope to find out soon. But here's what we're going to do. I'm sure that you have an MMA hot take ready to go. And we're going to make it fun. If I can't change your mind, I'm just going to start day drinking. And I've got here a delicious golden monkey, which
yes!
I know that you're partial to. Because
very. I miss it. They finally started selling them out here.
Oh, there you go.
It took them fucking 10 years, but they fucking got it. So thank God.
The last time you were going to be on the show, I bought a six pack and it's still like in my little mini fridge here in my studio.
Aww.
So I guess like, if I'm going to be responsible today, I shouldn't start drinking because I got a lot of shit to do and I'm on an empty stomach right now, but fuck it. We're having a good time, right? So, all right. Hit me with a hot take here.
We need more weight classes within MMA, almost similar to boxing, but not nearly as many. For women, like, well, look, we have women who are really small. We need a 105 division. We need some more in-between divisions. Muay Thai has this as well. It'll lead to not everyone fucking dying. It'll lead to, obviously, less weight misses. And we can have a lot more fun. I feel wrestlers ruined everything with weight cutting. Like, I talk to pro boxers. I talk to others. Pro boxers don't cut weight nearly like we do, and they look at us like we're fucking insane. So let's have more weight classes like we do in boxing. That's my hot take.
All right. I'm going to open this beer because I partially agree with you, and I'll explain.
Woohoo!
So let's get this party started. By the way, folks, this beer is 9.5% alcohol. So this is not like a... This is not like, you know, your dad's Coors Banquet, you know, where he would put down 10 of them before he started getting rowdy. It's not going to take much here. So here's why I partially agree. We don't need it to be like boxing, because boxing has weight classes like every 2.5 pounds or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. We definitely need to add more. It's a shame that there's no atom weight in the UFC, because of, you know, someone like Michelle Waterson would have been perfect for that.
Same with Jin Yufrei. She was a monster at 105 and then she went up, and unfortunately it hasn't been as great for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you want to be in the UFC, you kind of have to adapt to the weight classes that are there.
Roxy had to. Roxy's not a fucking 35er at all, but she fucking went for it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you look at Roxy and you look at me and you definitely understand why there's difference in weight classes and shit, but she went after it. Like, if I had to go up to 45 to chase my dreams, I'm like, all right, fuck it, it's dirty bulk season.
Yeah.
But well, I don't want to do that.
There's no more 145 in the UFC either.
Nope.
They just kind of like, let's sweep this under the rug.
Yeah, for real. Like, it makes me worried because, like, fuck, the fucking Kayla Harrison fighting at 35 is, I'm worried. I'm really worried. I'm not trying to be a dick. Like, this is genuine concern, but I don't know how she's going to make it. Like, she claimed the test cuts there, but I don't want anything happening to her, you know? I don't want anything. I don't want any nasty weight cut issues, you know, affect anybody, because it's awful. Like, unless you have cut weight, like how fighters traditionally cut weight, you have no idea how fucking bad shit can get. Mm-hmm. It's just awful.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I've trained in the same facility as Kayla. I didn't train with her because she would come and do like little judo seminars at Henzo Gracie's in Fort Lee, New Jersey when I was training there. And 135 would not seem easy for her then, because she competed in judo at 171, I want to say.
Yeah, and she was, and I remember her fighting in Invicta at 145, and she was kind of, you know, rough around, you know, for that. So I'm like,
it's gonna be 140, because she was fighting at 155. In,
like if they make a one, like 140, let's like have weight classes by like every 5 or so pounds, just to make it a little easier. Like, I would be so much happier if the fight was at 140.
Mm.
That'd be fine. No one would die. No one would have exactly an advantage, because Holly fought at 45.
Yeah.
It'd be the perfect middle ground. Like, this is the shit I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not going to get that.
I know I'm not. No one is. No one is.
I hate
so we have this. To keep looking like a dehydrated SpongeBob SquarePants on the scales.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more chance of me having a successful OnlyFans.
See, I was envisioning that if I was on OnlyFans, it'd be me smoking so much fucking weed and then trying high as balls to put together Lego kits. I just call that only grams.
I think there's a market for that.
There probably is.
You may want to
just high as shit. I'll probably put on my Sailor Moon bikini and just try to make these Lego kits up from scratch, and then everyone gets to see how fucked up it is.
I think we've got some people on the live stream here who would probably already subscribe to that.
People watching in the comments, please let me know if this is a good idea, because honestly, I might fucking go with it. It's better than putting my feet on Feet Finder or some stupid shit like that.
Is that a thing?
Unfortunately, that is a thing, because people are fucking weirdos with feet and shit. I'm not gonna lie, a girl's been tempted. They don't have to see my face. I mean, people get to see my feet all the time. Might as well make some money off it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Do what you gotta do. I think you're onto something with the Lego thing and the bikini. I think you could do it sitting in the corner of the gym putting the Legos together, and then
next time you're
cutting weight, you're like putting the Legos together in the sauna, and you just do a live stream. And I think there's something there.
Yeah, there is. I think there is. So
maybe you get sponsored by Golden Monkey.
That'd be amazing.
I'm still waiting for my first alcohol sponsor, but it's the only reason I've been doing this for.
I had one a little while back. It was this wine. It was a small wine company.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was good, but yeah.
Didn't work out. Yeah, I get.
No, well, it worked out, but then I got injured, and then my health went to shit, and I couldn't really uphold all the obligation. I'm like, look, I need some time. So,
yeah.
That's the thing. Stupid body getting ill and all that stupid shit. So, but I'm better ish. You know, I'm a lot better than what I was. So, God, I have an endocrinologist appointment tomorrow. I'm not looking forward to, but I know I got to get it done. So it's like,
gotta do it. Gotta do it. All right. Did you have another hot take?
Yes. Red cards and yellow cards for all over MMA, not just in one. We need to have some shit that makes action continue.
Fuck. I can't disagree.
Even my
with
fucking
this
bird
one.
Just laughed at that shit. Oh my God.
Now I'm drinking monkey beer and banana whiskey. This day is going downhill quick. I can't disagree with this. I loved the stalling cards from Pride. All right.
Yep. We need to bring it back everywhere. Because I know one does it, and I think each yellow card is a deduction from the purse.
Yeah. And do you remember when they used to break them out? Well, let me do this shot first. It's so gross.
All
right. Yeah, so when they used to do it in Pride, once that card comes out and they know they're losing money, the fighters would go berserk. Granted, they were all on cocaine and steroids, but
barbiturates and shit. Yeah, I know.
I miss those days.
Me too. It's when MMA felt like Disneyland.
Yeah, it used to be like it was like in the Mad Max movie, that the Tom Hardy one, where they would like supercharge the guys before they went out and like just fought to the death. It was kind of like I imagine that's what they were doing to them in the back, just like. Just injecting them with stuff. They just had an IV just pumping steroids and opiates into their
blood, right,
and then send them out there to put on a
and
show.
And nothing tops Lenhart screaming out your name. That's like a goal of mine. Like, so help me God, I want her to announce my name for a fight before I, you know, like I would love to fight for Rizin, but the problem is there are not many bantamweights in Asia. I mean, yeah. I wish they would import another one. Like, I would love to fight for Rizin. Oh my God. It would be a dream. It'd be a dream come true. Like, I could retire happy after that.
Well, you start making that Lego weed OnlyFans money, you could probably arrange for her to record something for you.
Well, we're actually friends on social media, so I can ask her, but it's not the same. It's not the same as walking out to go punch a broad in the mouth and have her announce the name.
That's fair.
Japan, man, if I go in Japan, like, they'll love me. I'll be all up in my Godzilla shit walking around. It'll work. An angry force came across the ocean to raise hell in Tokyo. Come on. How much more Godzilla can you get than that?
It's destiny. I think it needs to happen. I think we need to start campaigning for this. Have you been to Japan?
Yes. I went to Japan with Roxy in, God, fuck, I'm forgetting, 2019. So I loved it. We were there for a week. Oh, we went all over Akihabara, which is like the anime video game kind of capital. Yokohama, got to see Roxy's old gym. She trained it in Japan. So for me, it was like a fucking walking history lesson of Roxy's life. I got to go to this really cool arcade that was popular all over the place before it got closed down. It looked like the walled city of Kowloon. Got to hop over rock, like water and rocks and shit to get to the video games and all that.
Got to go
to the Godzilla store, obviously. I got to go to Hotel Gracie, which is like the Godzilla hotel and stuff like that. So it was a great time.
Awesome. Yeah. Of course, you're talking about former UFC fighter Roxanne Mataferi. And she lived in Japan for several years, right?
10, actually.
Okay, more than several. 10
years. English teacher by day and then fighter by night. And she even beat a Yakuza boss's daughter and lived to tell the tale. If you want to find out more, go read her book.
Shit, I still have her book on my nightstand and I need to read it. I haven't read a book.
She's got a part two and I'm in that motherfucker.
Well, I definitely need to get that one then. I'm ashamed to admit this. I haven't read a full book since my daughter was born. I mean, that's not like a bedtime story, but it's just like, I used to read like a lot. I have a master's degree in English and literature. Mm-hmm. And I do not read anything anymore, but I need to get back into it. I should start with Roxanne's biography so I can.
Well, if you want to make things a little easier, there's an app called Libby. And if you have a library card, you can literally virtually check out books and read them on your phone and audiobooks and shit like that.
Really?
Yeah. So that's what awesome. I do. If I can't go to the local introvert shelter, the library, I get stuff off my phone with this. Totally free too.
Wow. Well, I need to do that. Let me write this down. Because with this golden monkey and this howler head, is it Libby?
Yes. And there's also Overdrive, so one of those will work.
Yeah. I don't like reading on my phone, but you remember they used to make like the Kindles and it looked like a book page?
Yeah.
I had one of those. I used to use that a lot. I used the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, I used to enjoy Kindle until I'm like, man... It doesn't do anything else. Let's just get rid of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of became then like the iPads and stuff came out and it's like, well,
yeah,
this thing is boring. It's just reading, but I do need to start reading again. I should start with Roxanne's book. It's literally sitting on my nightstand. So I need to do that. But my days just run so late. Like I usually get home from the gym at like 9 o'clock at night and I eat and then I do content for this shit and then it's like, all right, I need to go to bed because I got to get up tomorrow and do it again.
I get it. I can only read like pages at a time, but I still try. Helps me go to bed.
It's all we can do. It's all we can do is try. Okay, so I know you didn't catch the fights last night. I know
I was working. Boo, work. But no, I actually enjoy my job. For real, though, but that's the one trade-off is I can't watch the fights all the time now.
That's an important thing. You have to enjoy what you do, because otherwise, why do it? I mean,
exactly. It's nice to finally find a job that I'm good with, because I work in home care now. So, yeah, going from firefighting to teaching kids to now home care for people who need me. I'm just a regular everyday do-gooder with just a bad mouth.
A do-gooder with a bad mouth.
Look, as my mom says, I'm a feral tomboy with a love of cute shit on the down low. And it's just like, yep, I am. My dad taught me balance. He was an infantryman jumping out of a perfectly good airplane in the army. And now he's the silliest, goof and kindest registered nurse you'll ever meet. So... And he's been that since I've been on this planet. So you can be both. You can both know how to, so you do no harm and do no harm. So
a do-gooder with a, what was it? A do-gooder
with a bad mouth.
That's going to be my favorite. Every time you're on the show, I have a favorite sound bite. Last time it was Papa Broad in the Mouth. It was no respect for any of these hoes. The first time you were on the show,
mm-hmm.
The hits just keep on coming with you. And I appreciate that about you. All right. So let's, speaking of a bad mouth.
Oh God, I know where we're going.
How do you like that segue? Let's talk about the prelims last night. Andre Lima wins by disqualification against Igor Da Silva. So there was a lot of back and forth in this fight. I'm not even sure who was winning at the time, but Andre Lima says he gets taken down, I think, and he starts getting back up, and he thinks he pinched his arm in the cage. Like his arm got caught in the cage somehow.
Uh-huh.
And then he realizes, like, holy shit, this guy bit me.
It's
bit him
insane.
Right on his, bit him, yeah, right on his bicep.
How do you bite somebody with that deeply with a mouth guard in? Or did he like spit it out and just go bite him?
I think he must have spit it out at some point. Or yeah, he must have, because the teeth marks were so prominent.
Yeah, there's no way in fuck you'd be biting like that with a mouth guard in.
So he tells the referee, like, hey, he bit me, and calls the fight. This guy, Igor Da Silva, his career is over. 20 years old, he was in the UFC. He was undefeated.
Yeah, and now no promotion will touch him with a 10-foot pole after that shit. That's a shame.
I mean, let's be honest, bare knuckle will... No, they will. They will.
I don't know, but still,
he'll be on. He'll be like the. He'll be like the opening prelim for Knucklemania. So this was stupid. This is beyond stupid, especially because it was a competitive fight. It's not like he was getting torched in there.
Mm-hmm. It's like take a bite out of crime, not somebody's arm. Like Jesus Christ. I remember in one of my tough enough fights, we had something like this happen, but instead of on the arm, it was on the guy's titty. Like right above, but like, yeah, like right on the guy's titty. So it's like, and even then I was saying, take a bite out of crime, not someone's boob. Like for real. Cause it like that, like the other fight, like it was a competitive fight and it went to the ground and the one guy jumped. And the other guy got, the guy who bit the other guy got up like he won. And it's just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, it's wild. So this guy, Igor, immediately cut from the UFC. Dana White said he'll never fight for the UFC again. And we've heard him say this before with Paul Daly. You know, when Paul Daly famously hit Josh Koscheck after the bell because he was frustrated being held down for three rounds. And it's true. Paul Daly went on to still be one of the best welterweights in the world and was still never allowed back in the UFC. So, you know, Dana White means it when he says something like that. He's going to get fines from the Athletic Commission. He's going to probably be banned from fighting in Nevada, I assume.
Probably.
And at 20 years old. Now, Andre Lima was given his win bonus and a $25,000 bonus.
Higher, actually.
And then I don't know if this is real or not, or if people are just photoshopping, but it looks like he got a tattoo of the bite marks.
It's real.
That's real?
Yeah, it's real. And now Dana's like, I'm going to give him 50K now.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. And I wasn't sure, like, because I just saw like headline-y type stuff. And I, you know, like a true American, I didn't look into the facts. You know, I just went by the headlines and like, oh, this must be true. But man, that is wild.
Yep. But just,
you know, Mike Tyson announces he's going to come back and everybody loses their mind.
Right.
It's crazy.
He apologized to Evander and now somebody else is to go biting somebody.
That was one of the wildest things. I mean, you're probably too young to remember this happening in real time, though.
Not right. Yeah, in real time, no. But looking back and then seeing all of Metro police being scared of Mike Tyson going in the ring, one of the most iconic photos ever. Where they're all like, oh, shit. Because even the police are like, yeah, it's Mike Tyson. We don't want to fuck with that. But they're trying to calm him down and shit.
Give me your take on Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul.
Why? Why? Why is this happening?
I thought you were asking me why I want your take.
No. I'm saying why. Here's my answer to that. Why? Why are we doing this?
I agree with you. But the answer is because people that I know, like people in the mom and dad groups here in my little small suburban town in Florida here, mm-hmm. People who know nothing about combat sports are talking about it.
I get that part, but it's still, holy shit, why Tyson? Why? I mean, yes, it's gotten more eyes on the sport. Yes, we have that going for us, but it's just like, it's cringe.
But at the same time, it's putting the sport in the dirt.
Yeah, and it's just like... Jake Paul has done equal amounts of good and bad, so I feel it just equals out the, you know, what he's contributed to the sport. And when I think he's finally getting competitive and doing stuff, it's just like, it's a money grab. And yeah. Don't get me wrong, it is prize fighting. I ain't gonna be too mad about them getting after the money, but like, it's just so nonsensical for me. Like, it doesn't add up. Like, they're going to have a headgear on and shit like that. Like, okay, it's...
Oh, they are? I didn't even know that part.
Yeah, like, so, this... I'm completely sure, but the speculation is there's going to be headgear involved in this. And it's just like, okay, this is just... If there's headgear, then it's a glorified sparring match.
Which means it's not going to go on anyone's record, and it can be scripted.
Yes. And it doesn't make sense.
So here's the question. We're probably in agreement that it's going to be a work. It's going to be scripted, right?
Oh, 100%.
Do you think Jake Paul puts Mike Tyson over?
I don't know. I don't even want to think about that because so help me God, if that happens, I need to just like turn off all social media for a while.
It's weird, right? Because his last fight looked like totally staged. Like, how's he getting away with this on sanctioned fights that people are betting on and stuff? It's weird.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, but this is what I don't like about it. But, you know, this is the talk in our industry, so we have to bring it up, right?
Yeah.
In any case, let's talk about some real fighters. I know you didn't catch the fight, and I told you I was going to let you go, but I mean, if you don't have anywhere to be, I'm just going to talk about this card to you.
Okay.
So are you good on time?
I'm pretty good.
All right. Well, we'll make it pretty quick because I feel like a lot of people didn't really ingest this card last night, and not because they had a good excuse like you, like you had to go to work. So Rose Namajunas, and you don't mind spoilers, right?
Nah.
All right. Rose Namajunas gets it done over Amanda Ribas. Last night, she won it 4-1, in my opinion. Rose just controlled the distance so well. And Amanda, you know, we knew this going in. Her wrestling's pretty good. Black belt in judo, her takedowns are pretty solid. Her problem, in my opinion, is that she can't tie things together. She's either striking or she's wrestling or she's doing jiu-jitsu. What she lacks is a mesh network to bring it all together. And I feel like she could be
an uninterrupted link.
Yeah, she could be a really complete elite fighter if she just filled in those blanks and could kind of tie everything together a little bit better, because her jiu-jitsu is really good. Her takedowns are really good. Her striking is good. I could do without the spinny shit. I don't like spinny shit. I'm a Muay Thai guy. I know you have a Muay Thai background as well. We don't believe in the spinny shit.
Yeah, it's only in case of emergency kind of thing, if at all.
you know, a few spinning elbows here and there, I'm okay with. A spinning wheel kick to the body, if the situation calls for it. Outside of that, it's a Hail Mary, you know.
Yeah, not, and it's dangerous.
It's not effective, and if you're going against an experienced striker like Rose, they're going to make you look silly, which is what Rose did to Amanda last night. Every time Amanda went for a spinning attack, Rose was like over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, I'm over here. What are you doing? I thought we were supposed to be fighting. Like, why are you doing this? And she looked silly. All that being said, it was not an entertaining fight. It was very much, you know, Amanda trying to do a lot of things and Rose shutting her down for the most part. And that it was 25 minutes of that. Amanda had a really good round in the third, where she did some damage on Rose, but Rose just so experienced.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to pull it off. Now, here's my opinion. I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but next week we have Erin Blanchfield and Manon Fiorot in the main event. So two more flyweights. I think if the winner, this is going to be a much more aggressive main event than what we saw last night. I think mm-hmm. if there's an impressive finish in this fight, the winner of this is going to be thrown into a title bout.
That seems likely.
I mean, you're more into the women's MMA space than I am, so that's why I want to bounce this take off of you.
No, that seems likely, and it's interesting because I know if Fiore gets it, I know that her and Rose have politely beefed about fighting each other, you know, so I think this would be fantastic, and the winner of that fight for sure gets a crack at the title. So I'm actually very interested in seeing how that works out now. Because Rose looks better at, you know, healthier at 125, in my opinion.
Yeah. And she didn't look bad when she fought Manon Fiorot. You know, she had the broken finger, but she left Manon bloodied up at the end of that fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good fight. But I still think, and I guarantee if Erin Blanchfield submits Manon Fiorot next week, she'll get the title shot.
Mm-hmm. And that'll be fun.
And Manon Fiorot, if she gets, I mean, she has to win by knockout. She's not going to submit Erin Blanchfield. If she knocks out Erin Blanchfield, if she does the call out right, she'll get the title shot. If she fucks up the call out, she's going to have to fight Rose again. That's how I predict this going down.
No, that works. I can see that too. There's no alternate scenarios in my mind that come up on who could be next. So,
mm-hmm. All right. The co-main event last night, Carl Williams held Justin Taffa down for 3 rounds. That was the longest. I mean, it was going to go one way or the other. It was going to be a knockout.
This is why I grapple, because I don't want to be held down like that. Like, grappling to me is like vegetables to a little kid. Definitely not our favorite, but we know we have to get it done.
I love grappling.
You can keep it. I grapple so I can get the fuck back up.
I mean, you would hate seeing me roll at the gym, because I'm at the point now where I don't even care to submit anyone. I just kind of like
slowly
creep my way to side control and keep them there. And that's kind of my
fair. That's kind of me too a little bit, but you know, I hunt for shoulders. I hunt for shoulders. I hunt for everything now. So
good.
I just like to tie him up and hit him and make him suffer. I get you in a gift wrap. It's good night.
Yeah. Yeah. I play with that a lot too, because I do jujitsu at a jujitsu gym. I'm still like 1993 when I do my Muay Thai at my Muay Thai gym. So the jujitsu guys don't understand MMA grappling, and they don't know how to deal with it, because it's all like,
it's evolved.
Yeah, they're very jujitsu.
Can't tangle nobody in a gi no more, and ground and pound has become the effective jujitsu bane.
Yeah.
Hey, my fight proved it. You know, girl tried to throw up a triangle. I put my knee up to stop it. I start punching her. No more triangle choke.
Yeah. What's the trendy thing to say now? Jiu-jitsu doesn't work.
Yeah. Grappling you can't be grappled without your consent. Just say no. Grapplers can't legally take you down without your consent.
Mm.
And I didn't consent. So that's why, you know, I didn't get any bullshit, I guess. So I don't know.
Fair. So that was that. Here's the fight you need to go back and watch. Edmund Shahbazyan and AJ Dobson. This fight was wild. Dobson rocked Shahbazyan. He had the Bambi legs going on. And he was able to grab a hold of AJ Dobson just long enough to stay in the fight and then winds up knocking him out with like 15 seconds left in the first round.
Oh, I definitely got to watch that.
It was nuts. And I was glad to see Shahbazyan with a different team around him, if that's fair to say. I don't think he was with particularly the right people, but he looked great. I mean, the kid's got a chin on him. I know he was supposed to be like the next big thing, and he was looking to be like, you know, everybody who comes in saying they want to break John Jones's record for the youngest champion. They
just fall into the curse.
It's just not, it's not going to happen. It's not that record's not going to be broken. We're not going to have like a 19-year-old UFC champion. The sport's evolved too much for that.
Yeah.
But I will say I was thoroughly impressed with Edmund Shahbazyan last night. Peyton Talbot, are you familiar with him?
Slightly.
He's got like the big bullet hole tattoo on his chest that goes like through his back. I'm not sure what the deal is with that. It's like the big black circle in his chest.
My nerd ass is like, is that a Bleach reference? Is he saying he's a hollow or whatever? Anime show, don't worry. I don't know.
Another language.
Yeah, I know. I'm speaking nerdanese, you know, not many people understand me when I get in that mode. But no, my most educated guess is trying to, you know, do something from an anime I watch. But other than that, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Save that talk for your OnlyFans channel. You get high and put Legos together and talk about hollow people. What is it?
Yeah, just bad guys from Bleach, hollows, whatever. Oh, okay. I don't know.
He toyed with Cameron Simon. It was the whole first round. He was just beating the shit out of him. Finally knocked him out 21 seconds into the second. It was very impressive. These are two bantamweights, and Cameron Simon is a tough kid. He had never been finished up to this point. South African fighter, 23 years old. But now he's got back-to-back losses in the UFC. This next one hurts me personally to talk about because Billy Quarantillo is a friend of mine. He's been on the show many times. I've trained with Billy for years. I've known him for a pretty long time, as long as I've been training in Florida, I believe. Just had an off night against Yusef Zalal. Seemed like he couldn't get it together. He got beat up pretty bad in the first round, which is typical for Billy. Billy has given me a heart attack in the first round of pretty much every fight he's had. Had his back taken at the end of the first, and then in the second round, got submitted for the first time in his professional career with a rear naked choke. Yusef Zalal was just all over him. He was just on that night, and Billy did not seem all there. So that was the result. And knowing Billy and how hard he works, he's going to bounce back from this and he's going to come back. I feel sorry for the next guy he fights. And Billy's a genuinely good dude.
Mm-hmm. He's always been nice on social media.
Yeah. And you know how you can tell is because he posted a tweet last night or an X or whatever you call it. And he said, you know, it wasn't my night. Congrats to my opponent. And going through the comments, they were almost all positive. Like usually somebody gets finished in the UFC and people are on their comments like, you fucking suck. You should have never been in there in the first place. But that's how you know Billy's a good dude, because people were on you know, commenting on there like, oh, you'll be back, man. Oh, you know, it was just a bad night. You know, go spend time with your family. Like, people were putting like very positive messages on there. And I really liked seeing that because he really is a good dude. He just bought his own gym here in Tampa that he opened up.
So,
yeah. So, you know, maybe he had a little too much going on during this fight camp, because it was just a few months ago he decided to take on his own gym, which is.
Yeah. And that is hard.
It's a tall task, you know, but he's got a kid and one on the way, so he's planning for his future while still trying to be, you know, a highly ranked UFC fighter. I think he was ranked in the teens in the featherweight division. And I said last week what Yusuf Zalal had going for him was he took this fight on 2 weeks' notice. So the people who do that, they tend to have nothing to lose. And he was he was cut from the UFC. Then he went on a 3-fight winning streak. They brought him back for this fight because Billy's opponent pulled out. You know, the most dangerous fighter is the fighter that has nothing to lose, in my opinion. You know,
amen,
we saw
to
this
that
with Michael Bisping and Luke Rockhold. And sometimes, you know, you might be the better fighter, but if you go through a whole fight camp and you're just planning for one person and thinking about one person the whole time, it's more pressure than it's like, well, fuck it. They just asked me to do this. I'm going to do it. And that's what we saw from Yusuf Zalal last night. But credit to him, even though Billy's a friend of mine, I have to give credit where credit's due. Yusuf looked good. I mean, he was mixing in the low calf kicks. His strikes looked good. He was really getting Billy flustered on the feet. And then when he got on his back, it was big trouble. I don't need to get into a whole lot else of this. Julian Rosa really impressed me. He was in there with Ricardo Ramos. So Julian was on the same season of The Ultimate Fighter as Billy. They were both on Tough 22. Julian got rocked bad in the first round, came back and finished Ricardo Ramos with a guillotine in the first round. I felt like this fight lasted a lot longer, and I'm looking now and it says 2 minutes and 15 seconds. In the first round, he finished it with the guillotine.
Must have been a lot of crazy shit happening in those 2 minutes and 15 seconds before that, you know, that happened.
It was a wild fight. There was a lot going on. It was like, the only thing I compare it to is someone smoking weed, doing Legos in a bikini, and talking about anime at the same time on OnlyFans. Like, there's a whole lot of shit going on. You don't know what you're looking at. And then the next thing, it's like, oh, that was only 2 minutes?
Oh my goodness. Just like, you know, there's some things I say, I know I'm never going to have let go. Ain't I?
But that's part of your charm.
I know.
Yeah. Wasn't a whole lot else going on the,
all good. Cause I'll see the rest later today.
Yeah. But definitely, I would say the Julian Arosa fight worth watching, and the Shahbazian.
Okay.
Peyton Talbot too, and then maybe you could tell me what the dark hole tattoo is.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, this was just a guess. It's like, oh man, is he part of the nerd herd? Does he like watch anime and shit? Oh fuck yeah, if he does. If he doesn't, so then I have no fucking idea.
He has it like here, like right under his sternum, and then there's another one on his back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the hole goes right through.
Right. So yeah, if it's not an anime reference, I have no idea what it is then.
All right. Do you have a prediction for next week? Aaron Blanchfield and Manafuro?
God, that's so close for me for it to be called, man. I don't know. I really don't know who's going to win that one. Like, this is going to be I think this is just going to be a question of endurance at this point. Yeah, because you have the ultimate shield versus the ultimate sword at this point. You have, you know, Vero is just a great striker. She's she's a fucking specimen. Mm-hmm. Like, she's jacked. And I'm like, I'm a little jealous. I'm not going to lie. I can't look as cut as she does. And then Blanchfield is just a phenom. But Blanchfield, I'm not sure her hands are quite at Fiora's level, but she, whatever lack in the striking, she'll definitely make up in the grappling. So it's literally, can Fiora catch Blanchfield, you know, with a good combination, and will Erin be able to engage in the clinch, or at least time Will to get her down and start working her magic? So I think it's anyone's game, quite frankly. It's who's going to execute their game plan first. Your thoughts?
See,
you're just as stumped as me.
Yeah. I see it the exact same way. It's just, but I'm interested in it. I'm actually interested in this than I was in the main event of last night, going into this. And that's why I gave my prediction earlier that I think an impressive finish here is going to get an automatic title shot. Although, you know, they're doing this Ultimate Fighter season now, so I don't know if that's going to hold up the division or what. Like, are
Shevchenko
and Grasso going to fight again? Like, why? All right. I'll let you go on this. So, co-main event is Vicente Luque and Joaquin Buckley. I think that's a really fun fight also.
Ooh.
But here's what's interesting to me. The third fight from the top on the main card is former middleweight champion Chris Weidman and Bruno Silva. And I kind of have the same feeling, like, Chris Weidman's a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, for what he did on his title run. You know, all the legends that he went through and being such a huge underdog against Anderson Silva, knocking him out and then breaking his leg in the rematch. He has nothing left to prove.
I agree.
Why are we watching Chris Weidman fight? Not even a main event, not even a co-main event of a fight night.
I know.
With the third fight from the top, what? And a dangerous fight against Bruno Silva.
I'm legitimately terrified. I really worry for Weidman. Like, I respect him. I think he's great. You know, like you said, he's a Hall of Famer. He's done so good for the sport. And he has nothing left to prove. But the problem is, a pugilist is never truly at rest. And I think that that kind of curse has caught a hold of Chris Weidman. Like, that's just how it is. Like, I'm hoping, like, after this fight, whether win or lose, you know, his team sits down with him and be like, look, you're no spring chicken anymore. You've done everything you need to do. Maybe it's time to start thinking about a life after fighting, you know? And it's the words no fighter ever wants to hear, but, like, he's older, he's gotten a fuck ton of injuries, and he still has a lot of life left in him, and he's a family man, you know? He's got something waiting for him, at least outside of this sport, you know? Not many other people can say the same, so I'm hoping he takes advantage of it after this fight. I really do. I don't want to see him get hurt anymore. He's just great. He's one of the great. He's a great person.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan. You know, the Longo Weidman gym has a special place in my heart, because when Ray Longo was doing his podcast, he had me up to his gym to be on his podcast, and I got to know a lot of those guys. My buddy Matt Steamroller Frivola trains up there, so I have a soft spot for these guys. It hurts me more than it hurts you, trust me, because Chris Weidman and I are the same age, so it's like man, I know I'm too beat up to be doing this shit anymore, and I just do it for fun. So I can imagine him, you know, going to the championship level and having his leg snapped in half. Like, man, the sheer will of this man to get up in the morning and prepare to do this again is incredible. But I kind of wish there was, like, a legend clause in the contract, where they could say, like, listen, you're going to be in the Hall of Fame, so we can cut you off. You know, I wish they did that with BJ Penn.
Ferguson.
Tony Ferguson. They kind of did it with Chuck Liddell. Like, Dana kind of cut him off, because Chuck would have kept going. Chuck would still be in the UFC now if they let him. Like, let's be real. He would still be doing it now. Can you guess Chris Weidman's record over his last 8 fights?
No.
Take
no,
guess.
I cannot.
Take a guess.
I don't know. So after the 8 fights, I guess 3-3? I don't know. Wait, 8 fights.
Equal,
wow.
That doesn't
equal
8.
I can't do math. Great. Good job. 4-4. Okay, good. 4-4.
2-6.
Oh, bro, it's time. It's time. Please, Chris. Yeah. We don't want to see you get hurt anymore.
I kind of want to see him win, like a big knockout or something.
I but do then, too, but.
But then I want him to retire on that.
Me too. Oh, see, Ralph agrees too. See, even birds know what's good.
Yeah, come on, Chris. We're the same age, man. Let's just, you know, let's have a whiskey and let's just be coaches together. And that's it. That's it. I'll end it on that. Is there anything else you want to get off your chest, Serena?
No, I'm pretty good. Thank you for having me on. I'm just going to, you know, like I said earlier, I got a bit of things to tinker with and fix, and I hope to fight again sometime soon. Obviously not next month. I got a wedding to attend. My brother's getting married. I know this fucker gets married and I'm still single as shit. I know. It does make it make sense. So.
Well, you got Ralph.
I got Ralph, but he's a bird and everything. He's my little feathery son. So it's something, but like. Yeah, well, he's been my best friend since I was 14. He's a rescue. So now I have something small and neurotic and makes a cage their home. Kind of like myself. It was meant to be. So. But yeah, you know, also big thank you to my sponsors, Fit Meals for ULV, combatsportslaw.com, My Consumer IT Houston, Autism Tree, the Culver Family Trust, and all my friends and my family who have helped keep this dream alive. You know, I'm 6-3. I just got a finish. So fingers crossed, this means I get to go to the bantamweight division. I mean, I feel I'm ready. I feel like, you know, once I get some more things tinkered around, because I was out for over a year, you know, and I came back like this because I had something to prove, just not to everybody else, but to myself. I still got it. So still got it. Still violent. Still mad. Still nerdy as hell. So I'm here for all the fucking smoke. So who wants to fight this summer? Who wants to fight this fall? Let a girl know.
Yeah, she's ready to pop a broad in the mouth.
All day, every day. So,
Serena, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this with me today. And it's always a great time. I'm going to have fun choosing some of my favorite clips from this episode. as I always do. I'm like, oh, man, which one do I use? But congratulations on the big win. You know, I'm always in your corner. I'm always wishing you the most success possible. So I hope that the best opportunity that comes up, you're able to seize it, even if that's doing Legos on OnlyFans. Whatever it is, you have my support. And
thanks, Bill.
You're always a welcome addition to MMA on the Rocks. Speaking of which, if you guys want to grab some merchandise, Reaper1.co is the website. Promo code MMARocks10. Save yourself 10% on some over-the-top, under-the-influence t-shirts. Tank tops, hoodies. I know nobody wants hoodies this time of year, but you know, get yourselves in shape and grab a MMA on the Rocks tank top.
The shirts are great and they last long. Trust me, I speak from experience.
I know. I see you training in your shirt, and every time I'm like, yes, it's still holding up. The letters are still on it and everything.
Yeah, it's been quite a few years too. So. If it holds up that many years in training and everything, you know it works for you. So go get a shirt.
Hell
yeah.
Go
get a tank top. Go do some stuff.
There's an endorsement from the Southpaw Outlaw. Serena, I appreciate you. Ralph, I appreciate you too. Until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.